Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And what would you do if I sang out of tune? Jordan, would you stand up and walk out on me?
My seat is pretty comfortable, so I probably wouldn't. I might mute you, though.
Well, this is still Flyover Ministry. We're trying something different here, where I'm throwing in references at the very, very beginning. I don't know. We'll try it for maybe this month and see how it goes. If people hate it, we might change it. But
reference to what?
It's a song.
Oh, is it like a current song that I should know?
You should know it. It's not current, but that is the only hint I'm going to give you here. Welcome to September, season four, Jordan. Season four of Flyover Ministry. Can you believe that we've found enough things to talk about to cover three full years of episodes?
Well, yeah, because we haven't broached the topic of, like, getting into tree bark and just nature. That's pretty neat kind of stuff. You know, maybe a niche like that as the years go on, but that's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, that's where the listeners are.
Mm-hmm. Out in nature.
Out in nature. Oh, glad to get rolling, though, on this. No more stalling. We're going to get talking about success in ministry and kind of rolling off of what we were talking about back in August a little bit with the highs and lows of ministry, things that we can do to find encouragement and strengthen ourselves when you're coming off a mountaintop, things that will help encourage and strengthen you personally. And one of those is by having a pretty clear and straightforward definition for success. So I'm going to just start this rolling here, Jordan, and ask you at the outset, how do you define success for your own personal life?
Well, Webster's Dictionary says...
No.
I don't have it pulled up. You know, there's been different seasons and different things that have happened in ministry that I've had to evaluate over the years. And in some ways, it can be hard to nail down what you think success is and how you define success, because it really depends on what metrics you're going to use. And in the right season, the metrics can change too. So you might have a group of middle school students versus high school students, or you might be working with like a more formal class like confirmands, where passing a test is like an important thing, or, you know, all these different benchmarks that can show up, which isn't really a direct way of answering your question, I understand. But what I'm getting at is maybe looking at success a little bit less from a performance basis and more from a perspective of faithfulness answer. So, you know, we've talked in months past about just you can't make parents, for example, use your resources that you send them, but you can at least send it to them so that they have it available. We can't make a student believe, as hard as we might push, that might actually be damaging the other direction, but we can keep sharing the gospel. We can't maybe make our group grow necessarily, but we can stay faithful to the message that God's called us to share. So if that kind of helps. Now, that's not necessarily a free case to say, like, so numbers don't matter at all then, because there are instances where numbers do matter. And, like, if you're being lazy about it and not attentive to things, that can be a problem too. But I do think that in ministry, faithfulness is probably a stronger thing to hang your hat on than some other options out there. But that's me in the UP. What about you?
I think it's important to distinguish here. We're talking about success in ministry, not just setting goals for ourselves personally, but to see that we're looking specifically in the ministry area. And I think how I define success is by gauging what kind of goals I set for myself and to see, are those realistic for me to be able to accomplish? Is this just wishful thinking? Is this going to fit into the context of where I'm at? Is this realistic for kind of who's in my ministry right now? I might say my goal is to have a strong college age ministry, and that's a good goal to have. That is a strong goal to have. It's a healthy goal to have. But being in Dalton, Minnesota, I don't know if you've seen the census data, Jordan, but Dalton is, believe it or not, not a college town.
I don't recall seeing Dalton on the last census data. Yeah, if you looking for it.
Well, nobody looks for Dalton. Dalton shows up. In Soviet Russia, Dalton comes to you. I don't know why it's not. It's a dumb joke.
Heard it here, folks.
Go ahead. No, but just to be able to say this is realistic for me to be able to have, as healthy as it would be, nobody's really moving back to Dalton. That's not to say that we don't have students that are in college that are in other areas. So having a college ministry will look different for me than it might for a church in Fargo or Minneapolis or Chicago or someplace where there is a strong college representation and a lot of students gathering together. So yeah, the defining success here is kind of being realistic with the goals that you're setting for yourself on the outset, but also to have it be small and attainable, to have those smaller goals help you build towards the larger big ones. Because if you only have large goals, you're going to wind up kind of stalling out and wondering when those large goals will happen. And I think accomplishing goals, kind of nice to be able to check things off your to-do list. Nice smaller things like, oh, I need to run errands. I need to stop by the post office. You can cross those off of your to-do list for the day. And it makes you feel like you're accomplishing and being productive. So being realistic with the goals you're setting, also having smaller goals so that you can not trick yourself into feeling like you're being productive, but that you can actually be able to see, actually, yes, I am accomplishing a lot of things here and things are moving forward.
Yeah, so I think it's healthy to have a list and making goals and stuff, and we'll get to that a little bit. But the first question, even before that, is kind of like examining the heart behind why do we want to look at making a definition for success or celebrating success in the first place. You know, the temptation might be maybe put it this way. This sounds kind of like self-helpy. Sounds kind of like just define and name and claim what you want to see happen and it will happen kind of a thought and stuff. But that's not really the heart behind this. I think in ministry, sometimes it can be a challenge to keep the positive stuff in front of you when you feel the weightiness of the negative. Like it's probably the impact of a negative thing happening can be seem greater than an equivalent positive thing happening, maybe putting it that way. And so it's good to be reminding ourselves as we're going into another ministry year. So how am I going to define success? Because in a sense, we get to control that narrative in our own brains. You know, we get to control what we are going to perceive as success. And for some people, it might just be like, look, this season, I'm really just going to try to get to know the students and get the students to know one another. And the fact that we can have like a younger student getting to know an older student pretty well and like they're friends and they will encourage one another and pray for one another, that's a huge success, you know, because our group might be super fragmented. And it's important to celebrate that, to recognize the Lord is working. And I think this is kind of a perception issue where if we don't take the time to make a habit of looking for how God is working in our ministry, we stop looking for how God is working in our ministry. And then it does become just about like, what's the next thing on the calendar? What do I got to do next? And we're kind of disconnecting ourselves from the reminder that this is the Lord working in and through us. So that's kind of the why we want to define and celebrate success in the first place. And also simply because it brings that clarity, right? When you sit down and you actually say, okay, this is what success is going to look like. I'm going to have 5 students this year really get more into the Word of God. And you've got a number there that you can measure. You've got now a strategy in place or an opportunity to strategize. How do I make this happen? You know, do I set up an incentive program? Do I just really pour myself into these students personally? But it directs you as well. And then when you see that happen and you see someone just like, hey, I was reading in my Bible, you know, this other thing, and I've got a question about this. Now all of a sudden you're like, this kid is actually doing it. And that's awesome. I've got a kid who is voluntarily, without like the whole griping of like, I got to read my Bible, but they're being connected to the Word of God. And then we can celebrate that and say like, that's awesome. You know, that is mission accomplished in one small step. And like you said, when you can check something off, when you can see that happening, there's something psychological that like makes you think, oh, I can do more. Like I've seen something about a study about how important it can be to make the bed in the morning. Like,
yeah,
to actually accomplish that one little thing can really set something up for the rest of your day if you finished it. Whereas just leaving it a mess and just like that's kind of always back there in your mind, like that's still not done. And I know there's some radical people who can just like live without a made bed. I'm not married to one of them, so I've been trained. But yeah, that can be an important step just to start getting something going, and that momentum can carry you.
Mm-hmm. I think too about, here's another reference you weren't anticipating. I wasn't anticipating it, but just the, Alice in Wonderland conversation with the Cheshire Cat, where Alice is trying to go somewhere from where she's at. And she's asking directions. Like, well, that depends on where you want to get to. She's like, well, I don't really care where I'm going to get to. Well, then it doesn't matter which road you take, 'cause you're going to get there. The importance of having goals is that, especially in ministry, you can be acknowledging where you are. You can have a pretty good pulse on that. But if you don't know where you're going to go, there is a little bit of, let's say, spiritual couch potato attitude where you'll just stagnate. You'll stagnate where you are, and that's not exactly something that's either exciting to be a part of or exactly missional. It's important for you to be able to know where you are and know where you want to get to. And then when you have the destination in mind, now you have kind of that route to be able to chart out, okay, what are smaller goals that will help us meet here? What are things that we need to build towards? What are things that we need to set in motion? What sort of things aren't we being aware of? That's also another important conversation to have. Personally, with your parents, with your students, with your volunteers, and we'll get into each of those areas as well, because you might have goals and you might have things set in place, but other people at your church might have other ideas as well. So it's important for you not just to have a destination, not just to chart your route, but also to have other people on board. But bringing it back to today, I think specifically when you were thinking about yourself, I think what would benefit you is to think about your own spiritual growth and development, not even expanding that into where you want to see the youth group or whatever ministry you're a part of be at in a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, or however far down the road you're going to go. But just to say, you know what, for right now, as I'm getting into this, this isn't something I've exactly thought about, something that I'd like to maybe try and do. Just think about for yourself. What is an expectation that you would like to have for yourself? What is something that you would like to see happen? It could be that my goal is to actually do devotions every single day and not just have it be a good intent and maybe I'll miss it. So you have to set goals and expectations. What does that look like? Well, it means you have to be disciplined. It means that you have to set reminders. It means that you might have to wake up early. It means that you might have to turn your phone off for half an hour or so to make sure that you're not interrupted, to have a proper quiet devotional time. So all of these things are attainable. All of these things are possible. But Jordan, I'm curious, for the one who is starting out here on something like this, what other advice might you have for them?
Well, I think that even the process of like evaluating what kind of expectations you're putting on yourself mm-hmm. tend to be illuminating. And maybe we all know the challenge of unspoken expectations. You know, the things that you expect of other people but just aren't communicated, and it's frustrating when that doesn't happen. Sometimes we have those things about ourselves too. We adopt these expectations that we haven't really thought through, and we put that on ourselves and get frustrated when something doesn't happen. So one thing we could talk about, as we mentioned a little bit about numbers, right? So someone could have an expectation of saying, I want my youth group to grow by 25% this next year. And so that means X number of students. And if the group isn't always growing, if you have a season where there's a couple more students involved with sports or whatever the case is, so it's lighter, then you might be frustrated and you might not really understand, like, oh, my expectation has been that we're always going to be growing. You know, that's assuming that you haven't like sat down and verbalized to yourself that, yes, this is my expectation for growing 25%. And that could be in various different things too, of how active the youth group is. You know, walk through how much is too much programming. Even if it's fun events, like at what point are you making yourself and the potential ones that are involved in everything just too busy? Is there an expectation on simply being busy, right? That you put on yourself. Like if I don't have three events, even if they're kind of small a month, I'm failing. You know, to sit down and say, what am I expecting of myself? What are other people, what is the congregation expecting of me as a leader, can really help your trajectory and strategizing how you spend your time. So that's one part of it. And then for someone who's starting off, voicing those can be an illuminating thing. And as you get more and more into it, making sure that it's like, it's bite size, but then I also say surrendering it too. Because as we talk about like your goals for yourself and defining success for yourself, that seems very internal. Like I get to set the standard, but really this is something that's subject to Christ. So how does Christ define success in my ministry? You know, and that's kind of where I went back to that faithfulness thing. It's not so much that I'm able to do X, Y, and Z with the students, but it's exploring what has God called me to, what has he placed me here to, what does he want to do, and am I lining things up so that happens? Which really then goes back to kind of your devotional thing too, where in order to live this out, there's that concept of abiding that is such a strong thing, right? If you're not abiding with Christ, if you're not able to understand and feel the promptings of the Spirit and open yourself to take that quiet time to be led, how do you know what the Lord is leading you to, right? If you're not spending time in his word, how are you planning on hearing his voice so that this is what he's wanting to do in the ministry, not just your thoughts for the ministry? And I say that as someone who doesn't have it all figured out. Like I haven't written a book on this. I'm still a work in progress. But as I've been in this longer, I've realized the importance of like that prayer retreat of just spending time apart from technology, apart from life, saying, Lord, what do you want this year? And listening. And, you know, maybe it's indicative of just how rough I am at it, but it could be like a long process and I can walk away from that and be like, Lord, I don't know if I've heard you. But taking that time and then just running with it can be really informative too. And then starting with small steps, you know, that's another thing too. Don't try to take it all at once and say, okay, my next goal is going to be total transformation of the youth group. What's one area? You know, is it the quality of worship? Not just like music, but the response of the group towards a holy and righteous God? Is it an aspect of service, being involved in the local congregation and local community? Target things like that. That would be what I would say. Yourself?
Well, I was just poking fun here. You're not at a point of writing a book yet, but you are at podcast level, so.
Which is pretty accessible. I've seen some of the podcasts that are out there. It's not saying too much to say you have a podcast.
Anybody can have a podcast. You too can join the podcasting crew.
Yep.
Oh, man. I do think, especially what you were talking about with fun events, right? That's really tricky because they're fun. It's fun to go have fellowship with the youth group. And speaking especially as youth workers, people who've been doing student ministry for over a decade apiece here, you know, it's fun to be able to have that time to be able to connect and fellowship. And it's easy to point to and say, yes, our youth group went bowling. Yes, we had a Nerf fight at the community center. Yes, we went to this corn maze. We went sledding. We did. And you can have and fill in the blank with all of these fun things. But to be realistic with yourself and say, you know, is the goal of what I'm trying to do just to be an event coordinator? Or am I making disciples? And I think I'm going to echo especially what you were saying about going back to how Jesus defines success. And especially when he's talking about storing up treasures in heaven, where and to see people pursuing, you know, their own glorification. The words that Jesus tells us on the Sermon on the Mount, where they have their reward in full. But you, right, what are you supposed to do as a follower of Jesus? Well, it's a little more discreet. It's a little more nuanced. It's a little more personal, and not on the surface, but it goes to the heart. So, you know, my encouragement is to be able to look to see, am I addressing heart issues? Am I not shying away from difficult conversations, but am I helping my walk with my students, with my families, with my own family, or even individually? Am I in a spot where I am developing and growing in that? And I think that is an invitation to be a lifelong student. And if you're not growing in those areas, to find ways for you to find other resources that will help you in that effect. But Jordan, as we kind of come to the end of our time here today, kind of follow-up question on all of this. When is a good time to set all of these personal goals? Like, when is the time that you usually set goals? Is it in August when you're looking at another school year? Is it December 28th as you look to a brand new calendar year? When do you set your goals?
So I'm not, well, I'll say this. I tend to write down goals most often in January at youth worker weekends when we have those flowchart things with goals to write up on. that's honest there. But for my mental processing, a lot of times it will be more of the August and just kind of over the summer as I'm contemplating, well, maybe more so August, looking to the new year, kind of just like what do I want to emphasize this year? What do I feel like is something that we need to work on and grow in? And also, you know, that also is an opportunity to look past at the last year. And one of the things we talked about too was it's why we want to define, but also celebrate success and see God's hand moving. Take this time to just reflect and say, God, you have done stuff and I'm so grateful to see you. So from our youth group here, I've seen instances of students who have really just dove into service. Like they're excited to do things for the congregation, for the community, that weren't doing stuff before. People stepping up for teaching Sunday school has been some things. Some students wanting to help out with that program. The VBS thing, we've talked about that multiple times already, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I look at that and I say, this is something to celebrate. God working in these students and God growing in them, the understanding that they have the capacity to be in the game now, not just someday, but to be serving now. And I look at these things and it's worth rejoicing in. And that's one of the highlights of the year, to be able to reflect at what God has done. And that also then informs looking forward. So that's going to be the big picture. But because of some stuff with ministry, the execution of this, I'm still trying to figure out because how I operate, it's not good. But when I meet with my youth leadership team, what we have done is we've broken down some of these like five core areas of ministry. And then we'll have a conversation and just say, hey, where are we with this? What are some things we can do to grow in this area? And so we'll come up with some goals. But the challenge is that so often I leave that on the piece of paper and they don't look at it until the next time we have our meeting. It's like, how did we do with those goals that we actually didn't spend much time with and stuff? So, but that would be an example of the goals happening monthly, you know, just like, and sometimes that's fine, or quarterly if you want, of just having a little evaluation point, like how are things going in this area and what's something that we can do to change that. So setting those goals, I think, can happen intermittently, but I think it is good to have a core starting place that is going to be routine every year. Like, this is going to be really a time when I focus on this area of ministry.
Yeah. I think August is a really good time to set these kind of goals too. I think just there's something fresh about the start of something new. And for those of us in ministry, especially student ministry, that's the school year. I know a lot of personal goals get set, non-ministry goals get set on around New Year's time. Yep. And I think we've talked about, we're both not very much those type of people to set those kind of goals. I do think Y-Dubs was an interesting time as well. I think that's a time to definitely be with other youth workers, other people who can help you break that ultimate goal down, or goals, into smaller bite-sized steps, to be able to use that to set kind of the path, to chart your own way forward in that. So if you're not entirely sure, if you've got just this general goal that, man, I want to grow here, I don't know how to do that, would you go and talk to somebody? Would you interact with us on Facebook? And we'd love to be able to get you kind of the support and mentorship that you're looking for. We'd love to be able to be that kind of platform for you in this as well. And again, the ultimate goal here for us is to be able to celebrate, to see what God has been able to do in our own lives and in the lives of ministry, because it's not just your students that need to grow, it is you also as well. So the end goal is not to be able to say, look how far I've come, but to be able to point and see, this is what God has done in my own life during this season of ministry, whether that is a fruitful ministry or a ministry where, you know, material things, maybe nobody, people start slowing down in coming. Maybe your attendance isn't exactly what others in your church hope that it is going to be. But whatever that season of ministry is, that you can point to the faithfulness of God and to be able to celebrate that.
Yeah, I think that's huge too. Like, what is the result of this celebration of success? Does it point to yourself or does it point to Christ? And that will reveal where you're putting your success and defining your success in. Is it coming from yourself? Is it coming from Christ? And, you know, this, I don't know where to land on this totally, but there's a saying of like, do you plan in a way that it's attainable for you to accomplish on your own? Or do you make plans so big that God has to show up for them to succeed? And I mean, there's an element of dreaming and vision in that too, that we could talk about. But I think this is maybe more for our purpose today, looking at the day-to-day stuff and just being able to see God's hand at work and notice that and to celebrate that, and allowing our definition of success to be more that way than putting all these external things on ourselves. But we'll spend the whole month talking about defining success. So maybe as we look at these other areas of, like, for volunteers and students and parents, that some of that might be fleshed out a little bit more. So stick with us, and I hope that this will be helpful, and at least listen to next week too, so that you can see if it's just like week one with just like cheddar cheese dip spread a little bit on top, or if it's actually new stuff. So
street corn dip.
There you go.
Oh man.
Leave it there. So yeah, challenge yourself to really like look to see for God's hand at work in your ministry, and be able to celebrate those things too. And that would encourage you as you go on. And with that, we pray that you'd go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.